Open with a word of prayer tonight, and then we will jump right in, sing a few songs together, have a missionary with us this evening. We're excited about that, and share with you what God is doing in another place in the world and how He is reaching out through that to a lot of areas in the world. We're excited about that. Now, let's open with a word of prayer tonight. Brother Hampton, would you open us in prayer, and then we'll sing together.
Let's stand together and we'll sing a...
Amen. I almost told you to turn in your Bibles tonight, but don't do that yet. I get ahead of myself. I have a routine. We're glad tonight to have a missionary friend with us. First time she's been here, and first time we've really gotten acquainted, but we feel like we have a connection with this missionary and her ministry throughout the years, and I'll let her explain a little bit about that in a few minutes, and we're going to watch her report video here in just a moment. Her name is Jennifer Andrews, and she's serving in, this may sound familiar to you, southern Germany, the Rhine Valley, and into Liechtenstein. Does that sound familiar to you? We have a couple missionaries that are there, Dan and Dina Brown. Of course, this is Joy's brother and sister-in-law, and they have been our missionaries. We were talking a little bit about this before, about what the timing would have been. Since somewhere around January of 2012, and it's pretty amazing that they have been on the field almost 10 years now. And you remember, I don't remember a missionary in the last 10 years or so, really maybe longer than that, who went to the field to reach a certain place and area in a certain way, and the Lord radically changed by obvious sovereign providence, changed what that ministry was going to do and what it was going to look like, quite like the ministry there in southern Germany and in to Liechtenstein. You'll see some of that in a moment in the video, and Jennifer will tell you a little bit about that. But she has actually been serving there alongside of Dan and Dina, and has worked alongside a number of missionaries and some other churches that are there that have given effort to that, particularly to refugees throughout the last few years that have been brought into and made their way into Germany. So reaching out to the German people, trying to reach into the country of Liechtenstein, which is very different than a lot of what we would consider closed countries in the world today. It's a difficult country to establish a permanent work in, and you'll see a little bit about that as well. But in the middle of all that, God bringing the world to this area, to this one particular area of the world. So we're excited to see that. We're going to actually play the video first to sort of introduce Jennifer, and then she'll come along in just a moment, give you a little bit of testimony about how God used this particular, at least location and place, to connect her, our church, to connect her to the area of the world that she's now serving in, and what she's doing, and how the Lord is leading, and then we'll take a few questions even and see if we can stump her. No, I'm just kidding. I told her ahead of time, we usually ask pretty good questions, and so we'll do that in just a few minutes. And if you're too shy to speak a question, you can even text me the question, and I'll ask on your behalf. I shouldn't let you off that easy, but I will tonight. If you want to text it to my phone, I will even read it for you in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and watch her video this evening and see how God's working through her and in this particular ministry.
I know what you're thinking. Hoodie, basketball, and a missions video? It's unexpected. But that is just one of the many unexpected things that have happened in the last 7.5 years. And I'd like to take a look back at some of that in this video.
In Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 7, the people of Israel are told, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We often hear Isaiah 55:8 in the context of our daily events not going as planned. But here, the context is God's plan of redemption. That God could or even would save a people like Israel is, well, humanly unexpected. I'm so thankful, though, that God's redemption story reaches unexpectedly to people, because it reached to me, and I have seen that happen in my time in Europe. I arrived about 7.5 years ago to learn German and to learn ministry in a German church. I was eager to use my newfound German acquisition to reach out to German-speaking people, and more specifically, Liechtensteiners. In language school, however, the demographics of Germany began to change as a movement of mass migration began from the Middle East and Africa. This was not what I had planned. It was unexpected. While learning German has been of utmost importance, I think of the ministry that God gave me in language school to the migrants that I was sitting with in classes, most of whom speak English. I had the opportunity to share Bibles with others in Arabic and other languages. One lady and her family gave their lives to Christ and became involved in a military church because they spoke English there. It was my reminder that the Lord abundantly pardons, and his ways are not our ways. After learning German, it was time to move south, closer to Liechtenstein. There, my ministry partners had, unexpectedly, began a church plant in South Germany, not Liechtenstein.
Hello there. My name is Daniel Brown. My wife, Dina, and I are co-laborers with Jennifer Andrews, and we serve at the Independent Baptist Church of the town of Leutkirch im Allgäu in southern Germany. I just wanted to share some unique things, some unexpected blessings that God has given to us over the past several years. The church itself is an unexpected blessing. We moved here several years ago, didn't know anyone. The first people we met were African refugees who began to study the Bible with us, with whom we were able to meet several months. And then this group reached out into the German community, and the international church we have today as a result of this small group of refugees following the Lord and obeying him. The building we're in right now is a blessing. Small congregation, was not able to afford much in the way of putting aside for a building, but during the COVID lockdowns, we were able to get this incredible facility. God's been very good to us, and we're very thankful for all he's done. Thank you. God bless you.
I had not expected to help with a church plant in southern Germany, but getting involved in Liechtenstein was proving difficult as there were many barriers to overcome. We had already experienced that community involvement would be key to opening doors to ministry in Liechtenstein. So I began looking for opportunities. Just a few months after arriving in southern Germany and seeking for inroads into Liechtenstein, the Lord opened up a door at a basketball club that was interested in growing a children's program. The majority here are so crazy about soccer that this was, well, once again, unexpected. However, after 5 years of involvement in helping them grow a children's program, they have now begun the task of finding ways to get me more permanently into Liechtenstein. My time is split between helping the church plant in Leutkirch and basketball and evangelism in Liechtenstein. As I make the drive regularly to and from Liechtenstein, I pass through southern Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and into Liechtenstein, and see how vast the need is and how many souls need to be reached with the gospel. With your help, we are truly bridging the gap to Liechtenstein. I have also been able to begin a basketball camp that works in correlation with local churches. Our first camp had 13 attendees that had never previously had contact with the church, and they were all able to hear the gospel. During the lockdowns, I also began to develop plans and ideas for writing tracts that cover the topics of identity, sports, and even the national holiday of Liechtenstein. Because of your prayers and financial support, people are being saved, discipled, trained to serve, and hard ground is being plowed. We have even begun a Bible study in Liechtenstein. Please continue to pray for me as together we bridge the gap to Liechtenstein. So I just want to thank you for your prayers and support as we continue to praise the Lord for all that he has done. And thank you again for coming along on this journey as we bridge the gap to Liechtenstein. I know what you're thinking. Hoodie, basketball, and a missions video? It's unexpected. But that is just...
All right. I thought the applause was for me. Yeah. We are thankful that she is here with us this evening. And man, what a unique and exciting work that God has done and accomplished, isn't it? And you hear, this is so much better than what you watched while you ate dinner in the news tonight, isn't it? About what God is doing, not what man is doing to the world. And Jennifer's from just down the road a little bit in Portsmouth, and is from Sweet Haven Baptist Church, worked at Sweet Haven Christian School for a while, and she'll tell us a little bit about that. But we're glad that she's here, and we want to hear her testimony a little bit further and what God's doing. And then she's going to be kind of back in the States until July, and we want to pray with her and come alongside and support her in her work there. So Jennifer, you come on.
So before I share my testimony and how that all came to be, one quick update to the video. My last Sunday before I flew back, I mentioned in the video we had started a Bible study in Liechtenstein, and on that Sunday we had a visitor come, and we were so thrilled to see that. And then my first Sunday back where we had Bible study, we had two other visitors come plus that visitor return. So as I understand it now, they have three attending the Bible study in Liechtenstein along with missionary families. So we are very excited about that and excited to see what the Lord will do there and learning slowly that it all happens in his time. And Pastor mentioned God's obvious sovereign providence, and your church has a big role to play in that. I did teach high school for 10 years before I started this journey. I did not have this in my career plans, and I enjoyed what I did. And I was, my last 5 years teaching high school, I was over at Sweet Haven Christian Academy in Portsmouth. And I had wrestled for about a year about going somewhere. I knew the Lord was calling me to go somewhere. I did not have a place in my heart to go. I wrestled with that, and I thought, well, maybe if I just give more to missions and pray more for missions, that's what he wants, and that'll take care of it. And so I tried that, and I tried other things, but that's not what the Lord wanted from me. And he wanted me to go. And I had talked to my pastor on and off about this. I had another friend praying for me about this, or praying with me about this. And eventually, the Lord led me to Liechtenstein. I laid that on my heart, and I had talked to my pastor about it. I said, this is a problem. I'm not a church planter, and I'm not going to start street preaching or anything like that, and there are no missionaries in Liechtenstein. I've looked. I can't find any. And he told me, my pastor did at that point, that it sounded as if I had had all of these excuses, and the Lord had answered all of the excuses I had laid before him, and he told me, he said, I think you really need to pray about just taking a step of faith and letting the Lord take care of that. And finally, I did. I turned in my notice to the school that I don't need a job next year. So I did finish off the school year. And this was in 2012. I turned in that notice. I knew I was going to the mission field. I knew I was going to Liechtenstein. I did not know what that was going to look like or how that was going to work. I had no answers. And I had to find a mission board with no answers and then go find support with no answers. This just is foolish. About 2 weeks after I did that, though, I coached basketball there as well at the school, and we had a game one evening that was here. And I drove my girls' basketball team here to play in your gym. And on your marquee, which now you have a much nicer marquee than you did then, this was in 2012, on the marquee it said, Missionary Daniel Brown, Liechtenstein. And I thought, no, you've got to be kidding me. That can't be. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe my eyes, what I saw there. I went home and I spent a very long night Googling Dan Brown. And after I got through all the Da Vinci Code stuff, I finally found them. And I printed off their information, took it to my pastor. My pastor called Daniel Brown and convinced him to come by. Said, I have this lady you have to talk to. If you're still around, you can come by. And so Dan, Dina, and a very, very small Micah came by and met with me the first time. And they were just crazy enough to begin praying about the possibility of working with me. That's all I needed, just crazy enough to let me get on board. And we spent about a year praying about that. And they were there for a couple years before I arrived, still having to do my deputation and such. And so that's kind of how the Lord brought us together. And this church had a hand in that unknowingly. So I like to tell a story. People are always amazed. So it was just there on the sign. Yes, it was just there on the sign. I think an angel came down and wrote it right before we got here for our basketball game. Needless to say, I was distracted the entire basketball game. I don't remember anything else that happened that night except for that. That's all I remember. But you guys probably won. so I don't know anything outside of that. But we are so thankful for what the Lord is doing. Liechtenstein is a very difficult country to obtain permission to live in as an American. But the Lord has helped us find other outlets in. One, as I mentioned there, is community involvement, and the Lord has opened the door for me to use basketball, a sport I love. I played in high school. I coached for 10 years here in the States. I love the sport, and the Lord opened a door for me to use that over there. I did not expect that. I do not play soccer. I have no interest in playing soccer. Every now and then I can be conned into watching it, but that's about it. I just have no interest there. But the Lord opened that up, and now my basketball club is trying. They are also finding it difficult, but they are trying to find ways to get me a visa either into Liechtenstein directly or into Austria or Switzerland, which directly surround that, so that I can be closer. They don't know why I really want a visa to live there. But they don't need to know that part. But I'm thrilled to see what the Lord will do with that. The Lord has also moved an American couple for work purposes into Liechtenstein, a couple that loves the Lord. And so we started talking, the Browns, another missionary family, and myself, and they said, let's just meet in this house for a Bible study. We cannot get a contract to rent a building, especially we know another denomination that tried that. And when the government found out that they were going to be doing church services there on Sunday, they were paying for rent, they canceled the contract. That couldn't happen. And we have tried to do an event there in the park for youth. We got the park permits. They were just about to approve them, and then found out we were a religious group and that we were going to do a devotional during that time, denied us. And so it's been very, very difficult to get into an open country, but because there is religious freedom there, they cannot stop us from meeting in a house. And so we are meeting in the house of this couple, and we just decided we'll start a Bible study. If it's just us, we'll encourage ourselves in the Word of God and just start inviting people. And praise the Lord, as I just updated, a few have been coming, and we continue to pray for them, pray that they are taught the truth out of God's word. There is a knowledge, from what I understand, of Christ in their heads, but as much as it translates to the heart and true belief, I'm not sure. So I would greatly appreciate your prayers as we continue to, as I said in the video, plow that hard ground in Liechtenstein. And Yeah, just pray that we have, I hesitate to say this, but pray that we have the patience to wait on God's timing. We've always been blessed to see how he does begin to work. And that has not happened any way we would have planned it over there. So we just try to be faithful to plant the seeds and watch what the Lord of the harvest does. On my table in the back, I do have my prayer cards. I also have, in the video, I mentioned a couple of the tracts. I have one on identity, which is a big topic among young people, here, and then some on sports. Please feel free to take one of those, but take it with a promise that you will give it to someone who might be interested in reading it, and I would appreciate that as well. And then I just encourage you. I don't know what it is that you love, what it is that consumes your time, what God made you and your personality to enjoy, but don't hesitate to give that over to God, because that is something that he can use. Maybe not the way you think he should or would, but he can use it. And it's much better and much more fruitful in his hands, I know, than my own. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that as well.
I appreciate that. A couple questions, and we'll take a few if you like. But you mentioned people about the difficulty of getting into Liechtenstein. And if you know anything about Liechtenstein, you know it's not like some of the closed areas of the world you might imagine. It's not Iran or Syria. For some of those same reasons, why, from your perception, why do they make it difficult for you as an individual or for as a church or as a religious group to have that kind of freedom, as you mentioned, yeah, that they say they have, but then don't really extend?
It's a good question. They do have religious freedom, and the reason that they have religious freedom they support two main religions, of course, state religions, which is a hard concept for us as Americans to understand. We don't have a state religion. But the main religion there is Catholicism. And they flat out told us with our park permit that it would upset the Catholic Church if they went further. So we know that that was the reason. And this other group, whom I already mentioned, was also not allowed that rent. In fact, they had it pulled out from under them, the rent contract, because the Catholic Church did not want them holding church services on Sunday there. So it does not control the government per se outright, but it does have a lot of sway there, the Catholic Church does. But the people in general are open, nominal Catholics. A lot of them are just the holiday Catholics. I have even had friends that I used to meet for coffee. After talking with them and getting into the gospel with them, the priest has told them to stop meeting with me. So I know where the opposition comes from in general. But there are also migrants coming in. And when you do get a chance to talk to them and just shortly share them the gospel, I have often heard, despite the fact that Catholicism is the main religion, I've never heard that before. They know Jesus. They know he hung on a cross. They know that. But the true gospel, many of them aren't familiar with.
Yeah. Do you know of any other, not even necessarily Church of Like Faith, but any other evangelical or gospel-centered groups or outreach that are actively trying to get into the country of Liechtenstein?
Yes, the group in which I mentioned that wanted to hold church services there, there is a large charismatic movement that is in that area in the Rhine Valley, and they wanted to start something there in Liechtenstein as well. We have come across that. They claim to teach the true gospel, but we have run into problems. I know in my own discipling with other women and other things, problems with their teachings and needing to correct a lot of thinking. A lot of it, at least the people I've dealt with personally, they're built up on emotion, and at some point that collapses and they feel like they're left with nothing, which they are, because our emotions can be different from moment to moment. And they do not, God doesn't waver based on our emotions. But yeah, that's probably the next closest one to us that I could point to.
Sure. Anybody from the congregation tonight have a question? Adult, kid, doesn't matter. Anybody else have a question? If not, I had one other one. I don't want to be able to question all tonight. Chris? Okay.
Just wondering about with having to go through Austria and Switzerland to get to Liechtenstein, would it make more sense to live in one of those grocery countries?
That's also a very good question. They are much, much more difficult to get into than Germany. And when I do get back, I have talked with the president of the basketball club who's working on this within Liechtenstein, and we are going to probe some of those possibilities. There's a city in Austria that's very, very close to the Liechtenstein border that would be a good option, and we've looked at those. But I'm going to need help from the basketball club for that as well. Germany makes it fairly easy if you can prove that you don't need any of their financial help to get a visa there. So that's why we have started in Germany and we're trying to work our way down. It does sound like a lot, to be honest. The Austrian border is about 10 minutes from my apartment, and from there in another 10 minutes I'm at the Swiss border, and there's not really, I mean, I've been in 5 years of making that drive. I've several times a week. I've been stopped maybe 2 or 3 times. And it's just a quick question, and they let me through. So yeah.
That's good. Anyone else? Sure.
What language?
German. So there's many dialects, just like English, of German, but it is a Swiss German dialect. So that's really fun to listen to. And when I want to make my basketball players laugh, I try to use it too. But normally I just stick to the high German that yeah. I've learned.
That's good. Anyone else? If not, one other. I have one other. Just curious. I think around the world, refugee movements and anytime there's crossings between countries or socio-political issues, obviously it's very politicized and received differently, I think, in different countries. It has been a variety of opinions, obviously, in America and other places, not just mm-hmm. immigration, but actual refugees. How is your work that you've done there, some with refugees, how is that received by the German people that live there around your area?
Yeah, that's very interesting. it's welcome, primarily because with all of the refugees over the last 5 years, the average lifespan, I guess you should say the average work span of a social worker in Germany right now is about 6 months. They get in thinking, you know, I'm going to help. This is going to be a great career, great job. And after 6 months, they're done. They're so burned out, they can't keep up anymore. So when we come in, they like that. This is a help. This is someone. We have a group that sometimes goes to the gym where they house some Ukrainian refugees at the moment, and we just play games with kids. And they're like, good. Especially during school holiday. They're like, there's all these kids running around our gym, nothing to do. This is a help to us. And they appreciate that. However, we're not always allowed to bring the gospel in. So the way we see that with these opportunities, we will bring the gospel in where we can. For instance, we did a Christmas. We made little shoeboxes with gifts in them for the refugees, and we went caroling to them and took them some Christmas snacks and everything on January 6th, which is their Orthodox Christmas. And we had in the Ukrainian language some Gospels of John and some other little booklets. that true self booklet on identity we had in Ukrainian, put that in there. So we were able to get that in there, but we see that also, and the reason we go ahead and do that, despite the fact that we can't directly evangelize, is it has been a very good testimony to social workers.
Okay.
And we can talk with them about the gospel, and most of them are very, very liberal atheists, want nothing to do with that until they see our help. So those are some open doors for us in that way.
Sure. That's good. Anyone else? If not, Jennifer, we're thankful that you're here with us tonight.
Thank you for
it's been a blessing. I think we can say that.
Thank you
so much. I think we should pray for this work, right? Don't you? I think we should support what God is doing there in the best way that we can. We have the gospel. It's the only power that God has given to man to know Him and to find eternal life in Him. And so you would ask the natural question is all of this worth that? God Himself came Himself through sending His Son, Jesus Christ, in human form to die for the world. And so if you were to ask the Lord, is it worth it to go to southern Germany and pass through countries to try to get into another country where the gospel is sometimes received, kind of, but also opposed, and to spend time with people through something that you can't even actively always give the gospel, but just to open other doors and avenues and opportunities, is all that worth? And the answer absolutely is yes. And so we're thankful that God is doing this work. Let's just take a couple minutes and pray over Jennifer Andrews and her ministry there, and then Dan and Dina and the others that are ministering there, particularly in that area of Liechtenstein. Brother Siegel, would you mind praying for us tonight, and just praying particularly for this ministry and praying over what God is doing there? Amen. Thank you. If you would, open your Bible tonight for a few minutes, and we're going to look at one of the final topics in that we've been studying, Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. If you time to take tonight, why don't we look at Ephesians 3? That's where the bulk of our conversation or topic tonight will come from. So you find your place in Ephesians 3. While you're finding your place there, and it is easy to hear in different times we have different motivations for wanting to listen to missionaries. More than anything, we should just be wanting to hear what God is doing and how we can help and how we can support and pray for Christians that are going in the stead of and on behalf of other Christians. God has called us His church, His bride, His body, His people. And we are unified together in that. And so one part of the church's effort to reach the world with the gospel is all of our efforts in a way. And yet it doesn't excuse us from our own efforts to use the opportunities that God has given. I love what she mentioned a moment ago. You be willing to use whatever God gave you. Because sometimes we say, well, I don't play basketball, I don't play soccer, I don't speak this language, I don't do this. And so someone else is going to do that ministry. But you do something. Even if you just eat and are grumpy, that's something that you have in common with others that eat and are grumpy. No, I think it's more than that. But whatever God gives you, use that as a way and allow God to use it to be a way to open an opportunity to share the gospel and to share God's love with others. I want you to pray about something as well, this ministry, and then not to take away from that this evening, just while it's on my mind and heart. I just started a book recently. I stuck it in my Bible before I came up here, and just in the last week I started reading through. It's called The Stranger at Our Shore, and it's the subtitle, How Immigrants and Refugees Strengthen the Church, and how we as God's people, and I haven't read the whole entire thing yet, so normally I'd say you can borrow it if you want. You can't, because I'm not done yet, but if you want it, I can reference it to you. And I'm burdened about this, because God has brought opportunity not just to southern Germany, but really around the world. You think about God's people. How often in Scripture were God's people exiles and strangers? How often were God's people, even in the New Testament, we are referred to as strangers in this world and land that we live, waiting to arrive home in the presence, physical presence of our Savior. And so where should someone that is lost or feels betrayed or overburdened or broken or rejected, where should they feel more welcomed than among God's people? And I think that we have an opportunity. And it's easy to say, let's send someone else somewhere else to meet someone else and give them the gospel. But there are opportunities. I have met one thing. I had had this book and it had I'd been sitting on my shelf for a few months. It was on my list to kind of get through. And in the last, I'd say 4 weeks, I've met three different men who their families are here, and they came here as what we would say refugees or exiles at some point, some of them more recently, some of them several years ago. And just how, I just got into a conversation about how they were received, what their experience was like coming here and burdened about the church extending God's love in that way. Did you know, and I'm going to say a whole lot about it tonight, because to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about it myself. I have just come across information. There's an NPR article, of all things, and several other places that I've read. I'm just sort of starting to gather information. Do you know that there is a change in law and structure recently in how refugee and bringing people into the country has worked, bringing them out of dangerous environments? And there are Christians that have come here on this. There are lost people that have come here through this. But that has opened the opportunity for churches and religious organizations in America to be a sponsoring partner to bring someone here. There's a number of different things involved in it. And I'm not saying that, I just don't know enough about it yet. But my radar immediately went up and just thought, could this be something that God uses our church to extend His love to others? And so be praying, if you would, about that. And be ready, not just to send someone else somewhere else to do something different, but to jump in and sacrifice ourselves to be a part of God's work in this world. Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. We won't read for time's sake chapter 1. We've been studying a little different than our normal studies where we just walk through a book of the Bible verse by verse. We've been in Ephesians in these two passages studying phrase by phrase because there are two prayers of Paul for himself, but also deeper than that, for the people of the church of Ephesus. And just for very fast review tonight, we have talked through a number of those things in the last few weeks and how we should pray. How should a church that God is blessing pray for one another? How should we pray for each other? How should we pray for ourselves? How should we pray for our church leadership? How should we pray for the guidance of our own lives and families? And so, remember we said Ephesus, if you read the book of Acts, they faced turmoil. They faced literal uprising. They faced trouble, and yet what Paul prays about a decade into the life of the church at Ephesus, where God used them to send the gospel throughout all of Asia, it says in the book of Acts. And Paul says in chapter 1, we'll get to chapter 3 in a moment, but he says, when I heard of your faith and your love for the saints, when I heard of your faith in Jesus and your love for each other. And then he mentions these things. He says, I don't cease to give thanks for you. And here's what I have prayed for you often. And just the top, he said that God give you wisdom and revelation and understanding. We talked about that the first week, praying for God's focus and His understanding in our lives. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Praying for that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Praying for real hope in this world. Not just a fanciful thought that things will get better, but what is the real hope of the gospel? And then he says, I pray that you would know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance are. And we prayed about that a couple weeks ago, that we would understand the riches of God, that we would value and treasure things the way that God values and treasures them and revealing to our own hearts. And last week we talked about how he said that you would understand what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us for new belief. So we talked about God give us focus and understanding. God give us hope. God help us to see and value things in the riches that we have in Christ and how God values us. And then last week, God give us power, but not our own power like to become superhumans. But notice it says that you would understand the exceeding greatness of His power. And that's what we talked about last week. So this week, look if you would, Ephesians chapter number 3. Look down if you would in verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according, and here's that word we studied a couple weeks ago, the riches of His glory. And then last week we talked about power, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And notice these two seasons of prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and 3, these big portions that he's talking about how he prays for them, there is a consistency in his prayer. He doesn't just pray once, God give us power and strength and leave it alone. He prays, it seems he prays daily for these things over the lives of these people, these Christians. And then tonight, if you would, look at verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. So he talks about here two different times. He says that you be rooted and grounded in love. How is a church going to be rooted and grounded in love? And notice it's a very similar way. In chapter 1, he doesn't just pray that the church would have power, but that they would experience and know God's power. Not that just they would have hope, like happy feelings and desires, but that they would have hope in Christ and how he has laid it out through his gospel. Not that they would have riches and wealth and resource, but that they would understand what we have in Jesus. And in the same way tonight, not just praying that we, the church, would have love, but he goes further, that you might, notice again in verse number 18, that you would comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. So he doesn't just pray, God, help the church have power. He says, help them to see God's power. He doesn't just pray, help them have hope. Help them have hope in the gospel. Not just that things would get better, but that God has promised. Not help them have riches and resource and provide for them, but help them to understand they have all that they need already in Christ. And then tonight, God, don't just help us to have love for one another and others. Help us to first understand and comprehend your love toward us. And so tonight, quickly, we're going to walk through this very simply tonight to outline. It's one of those that we could preach for a long time on it tonight. And actually, I told Jennifer, I said, I'll be as flexible as we need to. People are used to me being long-winded at times, that kind of thing. But it's a very simple thought in just three phrases tonight. And so we're going to try to let even the simplicity of it and the brevity of it kind of weigh a little bit on us, that this should impact us. Just this simple truth should impact us so deeply in how he even mentions it. So notice, if you would, he says, I'm praying that you be rooted and grounded in love. Now, what is something that is rooted? What does that imply about it? If something is going to be rooted down deep, a tree or a bush, I told you last week about the oak tree that's in my yard that is dead and never going to come back to life. What is something that is rooted and grounded and nourished? What is a sign that it is rooted? Anybody? What was it? It's stable. What else? The leaves, right? Leaves that it has life. What else? You plant, you go and you plant. Now, it depends on what you do at Lowe's. So you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever you get your plants each year since you killed all of last year's. And you go and you get the plant. And it's this, you can either for $3 buy this itty-bitty flower that looks like it's just started, or for like $30 you can buy one that has been alive for a long time. And we, you know, you're tempted to buy the one that's like $30 so it looks like you're this great gardener. What's the difference between the same plant, two totally different costs, same type of plant? What's the difference? What has happened to it? It's grown, right? It has. We are rooted and grounded in love. A sign of that is that we are growing in our love. Not just that we have love toward each other, or that we have love towards others, or to people, or to the lost, or that we have it toward, we're just loving people, but that it grows considerably. And that's what Paul is hinting at when he says, I pray that you'd understand the knowledge, and you'd have knowledge of the love of God, the height, the depth, the breadth. Why? Because your relationship with God in love is not something that just explodes and all of a sudden you have it like a love at first sight and then never changes. That's not a good and healthy love, but rather one that is planted and continues to grow and change as there is more understanding and exploration of that love of God. So notice, number one, tonight we're going to look at these few phrases. Number one, growing in God's love, and notice how Paul mentions it, happens within the context of the church. We all want God's love. And when we talk about God's love, we think about our relationship with God. But notice, if you would, in verse number 18. Notice he says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. Of course, he's talking to the whole church. And then verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend, what's the next three words? With all saints. He says, I'm not just praying for this like individually that you would feel much more loved by God. I'm praying that you as a church, all of you saints, that when you look at each other's lives and you see how God has displayed his love, not just to one of you, or not just in our human perception to the most deserving of you, not how he has impacted just your own personal life, but when you look at the church and you look at those that God has saved and called to himself, that you would grow in love with each other. We got just a moment. Look, if you would, I just want to look at how Paul's epistles start. We'll just use a few of them. Look at 1 Corinthians. It's back just a few pages. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus. Verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sosthenes, our brother, unto who? The church. So he's writing this book of edification and growth to this group of people that is the church. If you were to look at 2 Corinthians, go back a few pages and just be ready. It's a sort of, I'm just going to go in order, just so you know. If you want to get a jump start, we're going to go 1 Corinthians through Colossians real quick, just the first chapter of each one, first few verses of each one. Notice in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with what? All the saints that are in all in Achaia. So he's saying this whole group of us is extending this to you. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father. It says the Father of mercies and all comfort, which comforteth, notice verse 4, which comforteth who? Us. Notice he says all the saints, all the church, unto the church, all of us. Go, if you would, to Ephesians, the book that we are in. Galatians, next chapter. Galatians is the next book. Look at Galatians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 3. Grace and peace, or verse 2, in fact, works well. And all the brethren which are with me. He says, all of us greet all of you. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, verse 4. Who gave himself for what? Our sins, that he might deliver who? Us from this present world. Now to Ephesians, the book that we're in, Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed who? Us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you for time's sake, we'll stop there. But all of Paul's epistles, as they start, all of us greet all of you. You have all of these blessings in Christ who loves us, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus died for the church. If you were to turn Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it for all of us together. So think for a moment, if you would, that God's love is in this world. I just want you to think about this for a moment. How are you ever going to understand God's love for you? Are you ever overwhelmed by God's love? Like we should be. Like sometimes we have our horrible, rotten days. And those are days that we often are not overwhelmed by God's love. But in fact, those are probably the days we should be most overwhelmed by God's love. That in our bad response and the bad days that came from our unspiritual choices, that God still loves us and gave himself for us, knowing that we would have those days. It should overwhelm us. But did you know that in this world and in this life before eternity, you will not understand God's love as he intends for you to understand it right now. Now, we know that in eternity one day, we will fully, as much as our human creation can understand, we will fully understand and be absorbed by the love of God. But now, right now, in this life, that's why Paul is praying. I'm praying that you'll understand God's love for you. But think about this. You as a Christian cannot and will not understand God's love for you in this life the way that he intends or makes possible for you outside of his church. But think about that for a moment. God died for you to show his love for you, yes. But he gave himself for the church. And he gave the church to itself, he gave us to each other. And so when Paul prays, he says, I'm praying that you understand the love of God with all the saints. That all of you, as you come together, would understand God's love. I can understand my love better when I see God's love for me better. When I look at John Dorsey's life and see God's love, when I look at Jeff Lewis' life and understand God's love for them, I understand in a deeper way how God loves me. And then in reverse, as I love them and they love me, as we love each other, we have a deeper understanding of God's love within his church. The love of Christ is discovered corporately. And so sometimes when we try to understand God's love in the neglect of his church, it's impossible. Notice the second phrase, growing in God's love involves the mind and the heart. Because when we talk about love, it can be a confusing thing, can't it? Because love, we say, well, I don't feel anything different if we're talking about human aspect. But also, we see things sometimes displayed and we analyze by what we see and the actions that are observed how someone loves or how love is displayed. And it's teaching us here that love goes past the mind, but it also goes through the mind. That's how God intends for us to understand his love. Notice, if you would, chapter 3, verse number 18. Verse number 18. Be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. It says, I want you to comprehend this what? Verse 19, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So he says, I hope that you can know what is not knowable. If you ever felt unable, Paul is literally praying, God help us to know what we cannot know. To understand what is not understandable. And so when he says it passes knowledge, what is he pointing out? He is pointing out that it passes what our minds can comprehend. Knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. And Paul is saying, I hope you know and understand God's love, not just by what you know about him, but how you have come to know him. Now, here is the paradox of this all, is that the love of God passes knowledge, it goes past the mind, but he also runs it through the mind. In other words, I have to know about God to then know him and to know his understanding of his will. So you see there, the path of our heart leads through our minds. And so ask yourself this. You sometimes, I want to know God's love more. I want to sense that God loves me. We all want that. But how can we sense God's love when we spend no time with him? How is he supposed? We expect him to display his love by like praying you're like healthy and never get sick and you have lots of riches and you have resources and like you have a special feeling on certain days. No, God's love is much deeper than that. a Christian that comprehends God's love doesn't just feel like they've been blessed today and had a good life. A Christian that understands and comprehends God's love knows that, and by relentless faith, knows that God loves them regardless of the circumstance of their life that's going on physically. And so when Paul prays, he's saying, I'm praying not that you have riches, power, and good thoughts, but that you have all that through Christ, because and you understand how and why he loves you. Notice the third, growing in God's love comes with an understanding that there are no limits to that love. Notice he talks about the height, the breadth, the length. He mentions four ways to measure God's love. Why does he mention them? So that we could understand that you cannot measure God's love. He mentions them to, it almost is silly to try to measure God's love in one direction or another, but he's saying, I'm hoping and praying that you sense God's love in every aspect of your life. And notice, he goes on, which passeth knowledge, notice this, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's love that touches the life of a Christian comprehensively overwhelms that person's life. It is not just that God loves me in this way or that way, but that God loves me infinitely and immensely in every way. Remember a couple weeks ago we finished our sermon. We said, think about this. Let's let this weigh on us for a moment, that God, who can do anything, who has all power, glory, who has all ability, who created the fathomless, beyond our understanding, all the aspects of creation in this universe, that he could do anything that he wanted to, and yet he has chosen to redeem the one part of his creation that rebelled against him so that he could spend eternity with that. The one, if you would, you say it this way, it's not a blemish on him, but the one blemish of his creation is mankind, and he has chosen, because he loves you so much, because you're created in his image, because he created you differently, he's chosen that he's going to live with you forever. Not just around you, but that he's going to direct eternity through himself for you. And that God's love is overwhelmingly comprehensive. There is no limit to it. For times like tonight, we won't read Philippians 2, but I encourage you, it's on the back and you're applying application questions as well, to read Philippians 2, 5 through 11 and look at the description. Herein is how Christ loves us, that he humbled himself and died for us. And so let's finish with these last two verses. How can you know what cannot be known? Remember we said this a few weeks ago? We said that verse 20, we quote it quite often when we're like, Jennifer's talked about basketball, you know, and I've seen different people put a verse about, you know, we got a game today, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm glad that they feel that way. That's not exactly how that verse is to be applied. And when you get to verse 20, like you might think, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Like, Lord, we want this success in life. We want this job that we're not qualified for, but we've applied for it. If you would do above what we ask and think. Lord, we have this need physically, so please do above what we ask and think. Lord, we have this thing that we would like to accomplish or success, so do above what we ask and think. But notice the context of verse 20. He says, God, we want you to show us hope and riches and power and understanding. And then he says this, Lord, we want to comprehend how much you love us. And now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the context of this verse. That we know God's hope and love in our lives. We cannot do that on our own. There's no amount of time you can spend reading the Bible that's going to make that happen. There's no book, not that you should neglect it, you should, that's how he's chosen to do that. There's no book that you can read about the love of God. There's no song that you can sing. Sometimes we want this emotional burst, explosion inside of us about the love. Like, I just want to like be overwhelmed and fall down and melt before God through a dramatic sensing of his love. And don't get me wrong, I think sometimes we eliminate that possibility. There are moments in life that happens. And you should not neglect that. We should fall into and give into those moments when God so moves in us in a sense of emotion and a feeling, if you would, of love that He's directed to us. But that is not, in my opinion, how He most often chooses to teach us of His love. It's not an emotional explosion. It's a daily relationship. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding above, why is it exceeding above all we can ask and think? Because I am so sinful, so caught up on self, and so distracted by the world that I would never pay attention to God's love unless He, by His Spirit, shows and gives and teaches it to me. And so when we ask God for, God, do above what we ask and think, it should be more than what we have in our bank account, more than the job that we have, more than what we're getting, more than what we want to accomplish. It should be far greater than that. It should be in the daily growth and understanding of Him. And then finally, you see verse 21, or into verse 20 and 21, notice. He says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. Only God can do this. Have you humbly asked God for a better understanding of His love? And then number five, the love of God will affect the fullness of our lives. If we grasp God's love, it will be obvious to us and to those around us. Because verse 19, will be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us. And what happens? God's love overwhelms. We cannot measure the love of God in our lives, but we can see its effects. And when God's love grows in us, what happens? Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He says, when a church, I'm praying that you'll understand God's love, because when a church understands the love that God has for them individually and corporately, when you understand the big picture, we walked through, took about a year on Wednesday nights and walked through the plan of God from Genesis to Revelation, how this redemption is woven in to all that God has done throughout all the years. He didn't piece it together. He masterfully painted our redemption. And when we understand that, what will a church that understands that do? Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church. A church that is overwhelmed by the love of Christ, what is seen in that church? The glory of Jesus in their lives. That they are not consumed with self or overcome by the world, but they are absorbed and enthralled by His love. I'll finish and read you this. Instead of our prayer groups tonight, we're gonna close in a moment as we'll be led in prayer by someone. But I'm gonna read this to you because it's impactful. It says there, the last thing that you have in your notes is this adoption illustration from the book Knowing God. If you've never read it, it's not my fault. You should. I'll just say that. I think I've referenced it a number of times, and so I will do it again. It's impactful. The book called Knowing God, and it has a portion in it about how God has adopted us. And I'll read it to you, and then we'll close. And it just helps us sense how God's love should impact not just our, when I sing at church, I feel loved or loving. When I'm at church or when I'm serving, I feel loved. It should impact from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. It says, adoption by its very nature is an act of free kindness to the person who is adopted. If you become a father by adopting a child, you do so because you chose to, not because you are required to. Similarly, when God adopts us, it is because He chooses to. He had no duty. He had no one that required Him to do so. He need not to have done anything above our sins save punish us as we deserve. But He loved us. He redeemed us, forgave us, took us as His own sons and daughters, and gave His own Son so that He could be our Father. Nor does His grace stop short with the initial act of saving us, any more than the love of a human parent who adopts a child stops short with completing their legal process that makes the child theirs. The establishing of the child's status as a member of the family is only the beginning. The real task remains to establish a genuinely filial relationship between your adopted child and yourself. It is this, above all, that you want to see. Accordingly, you set yourself to win the child's love by loving them. You seek to excite affection by showing affection. And so with God, and throughout our life in this world, And to all eternity beyond, He will be constantly showing us in one way or another more and more of His love, and thereby increasing our love to Him continually. The prospect before the adopted children of God is an eternity of His love. I think about this as we close it, by way of that thought of adoption illustration. You know, the human-child relationship, and many of you have experienced this, it spreads. It's not that your love goes away for your children as they get older, but it is that it is different. It is less constant. It is less present, and it is, in a way, less intimate on a regular basis. Because children grow up, and I tuck my kids in. One of them is sound asleep this evening, and I'll take him home and tuck him in a little while. And, you know, he's 7 years old. Like 10, 15 years from now, I'm not going to do that anymore. As hard as that is for me to understand and comprehend, it's going to change. He's going to become more independent from me. And I will still love him as deeply. But that relationship grows apart in a way, in different ways. Think about this as we close tonight and the weight of this thought. Your relationship with God will not do that. You will never grow independent from Him. You will never establish yourself as His child and grow so much spiritually that you don't have a need for Him anymore. When you enter eternity and God recreates this world, and He gives us whatever heaven's going to be like, and He gives us that, He will not set us free, but you're sanctified, you're complete now, I'm going to let you go do your thing. No. But our love will be more constant, and our relationship will be more intimate, more consistent, and more present than it ever has been here on this earth. And it will continue that way for eternity. It's the opposite of a human parent-child relationship. We will grow to God. And so here on this earth, may we understand His love as a church and as individuals. And may we not just wait till things get better, but may we grow deeper in His love and live in a way that reflects that for His glory. We'll finish our study out the next couple weeks. But we should be praying. Remember, all of this is based in prayer. Are we praying these things? Are we praying that we would know the love of God? Because you could hear a million sermons on it and never get it unless He moves deeply in your heart and life. Let's ask the Lord to seal this in us, and then we'll be closed in a word of prayer in just a moment. Father, thank You for Your word to us. We love You. And yet we don't. We are humbled that Your love for us does not grow based on our love toward You. Yeah, Your love is infinite. It is boundless. It is unfathomable. It is unconditional. And so may our love grow toward You, not because we are better Christians or different people, but just because You've opened our eyes more to Your own love. We ask that You would teach us of Your fatherly care, that You would help us to see Jesus in a deepening way that overflows, and so that then as we live, others would be caught up in Your embrace through us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Jim Sampson to close us in prayer, if you would, in just a moment. But I do want to draw your attention to a few prayer requests tonight. We won't break into our prayer groups as normal this evening, but if you would, a few different prayer requests that are here, and then a few to add on to that tonight, if you would. As it says there, praying for the ministries of our church, and then as we've emphasized the last few weeks, praying for these things, praying for God's hope, His love, His power, His understanding, that we would be a church that is growing spiritually. And so if you would pray over those things. You have a number of people traveling this week and a number of people out this week. Sunday afternoon, I texted and called a few and sent some letters to people I noticed that were out. Almost without fail, everyone that I talked to said bad sinuses and allergies, cold, different things. So we have a number of people that need our prayer tonight. And if you would reach out and check on them in the week to come. And you see there the family of Lori Klima, This is Mary Martin's daughter, Kelly's sister, that passed away. The funeral and burial was today. And so if you would, again, reaching out, expressing love to them, and praying over their family the next days ahead. And then Patricia Wilma still recovering, and Dana Hickson as well. Continue to pray for both of them. The Goins family are missionaries in Honduras. They've returned after the death of their son. Continue to pray for them. You have an update there tonight on Abby Chang. This is a friend of Farovsky's that helped care for Heather and Chris's kids while she was in her own cancer treatment. And she has surgery next week for a brain tumor on Tuesday, 12 to 14-hour surgery. And so if you would, just be in prayer for all that will go into that in the next few days. And Barbara Sharp's daughter, they are to give a good report today that the cancer is responding to the treatments, and they do feel she's going to recover from the damage that was done to her heart. And so if you would, continue to pray for her. And then a couple add-ons, the family of Joyce Best Lemon, we mentioned her last week. This is Heather's great aunt, passed away and had the funeral this week. Mark Oliver had cataract surgery this week, so if you would pray for his recovery. And then Kevin Hibbard's sister, Laurel, she was on our prayer list a few weeks ago for surgery and has had some complications and infection there with a back surgery. And so if you would add them in and be praying for them this week as well. All right. Again, not do our prayer groups tonight, but Brother Sampson, would you spend some time, close us in prayer this evening? And then after he prays, Jennifer, if you would, you greet people, and hopefully we'll be able to slide by and see her, thank her for being here tonight. We are taking a love offering for her. You can be a part of that. Just mark on an envelope, Jennifer or Andrews, or Jennifer Andrews, either one. You can put that in the offering box at the back, or you can give online and designate that, and we'll make sure that all of that gets to her as well. All right, Brother Sampson, would you close us in prayer?